of you, my many bones. I tasted and seen of your great love. You satisfy me. You satisfy me. Spirit fall. Open up heaven's door. We're waiting with worship for more. You're the only love that satisfies me.
You're the only love that satisfies me. How many people here are astounded by the presence of the Lord in your life? Are you thankful for an almighty God who comes down and visits us in such a way we can't even explain, we can't even understand how we feel? Early in my walk, in my Christian walk, after I received the Holy Ghost, I was like a roller coaster. Anybody experienced like up and down emotionally, kind of crazy? And the older I get and the more years that I put on in the church, the less I get bent out of shape when something comes through, right? And you start to get a little bit more stable and you start to get a little bit more secure and your faith gets a lot more sturdy and steady. But the problem with it is sometimes we trust in just that it's going to be okay, but we don't put the emotion in that we did when we were a new Christian, because we're not as afraid anymore. Sometimes a little fear is what we need to motivate us to worship God the way that God wants to be worshiped. That's why I believe the scripture says that we should fear the Lord. Aren't you afraid that, don't you fear the Lord? It means a sovereign respect, a respect for something that is powerful, a respect for something that's dangerous in the wrong, if you come at it the wrong way. And I just wonder if anyone here is just a little bit tired of just steady Eddie, regular, normal, just getting through. And you know, it's been a long COVID year plus, right? And I'm just thankful that this is coming to an end. Amen. Got an email today saying June 2nd, Dane County was going to drop all orders, all mandate orders. No more masks, no more social distancing, no more regulation of any kind. It's almost hard to understand that the carrot's been out there like 7,000 times, right? Oh, yeah, right. And people are placing bets already if it's true. But I believe it's going to be true. Amen. We're going to have a COVID-free summer. And God is going to move like He's never moved before in His church. Amen. We're going to have revival this year. We're going to get excited for God. We're going to find people that want to love God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. I'm excited. And if you're a visitor here tonight, we're excited that you're here tonight with us. If you wouldn't mind, if some point in time in the service or after service, if you could find a usher or go into the back kiosk, we have a small card that we'd like for you to fill out. We'd like to stay in touch with you, and we have a small gift for you. If you're watching online, we also have that available on our website. And we are just thankful that you're here. I would like to remind you tonight that we have some giving options at Calvary Gospel Church. If you'd like to give in the offering, you may be seated. Sorry to keep you standing so long. If you'd like to give to Calvary Gospel Church, it's really easy. You can just visit us on our website at cgcmadison.org/giving. You can send in an offering in the mail, or you can text to give. And if you do text to give, you can text tithes, offering, or MM, which stands for Mother's Memorial, into that. And if you were here last Sunday, you heard the Montana Mission Montana, from Carl and Cecily Grant. And their keyword, if you would like to give for their mission, is Montana. So if you'd like to if you didn't get a pledge card, that's fine. You don't even have to touch a pledge card. You could just get your phone out and text Montana to that, and you can be a part of the Montana mission and help support Carl and Cecily Grant as they head out to new adventures. Amen. This Sunday, anybody know what's going to happen this Sunday at 6 p.m.? Pentecost Sunday, Save Our Nation. Amen. And so we're excited. We're going to be hosting a live stream event that's going to be going on live at the Panther Arena downtown Milwaukee. And we're going to be doing it here by video. It's going to be live. And so let's just set some expectations. This is what's going to happen. You're going to invite people. They're going to come with you to church. When they get here, there's going to be some cards that we hand out to everybody to collect everyone's information. Say everyone. That includes you. So we don't want anyone filling out a card by themselves on that day, okay? So every person who comes that night will fill out a card. We'll get that information. We'll give it back to Phil. He'll probably use that to update our database, but we'll also be sending the information of attendance into our district so that they know how many people attended the event in total, not just in the arena, which has now opened up to 5,000 people. But also attendance in every church in our district who is planning on live streaming the event. So when we come here, we're going to fill out that little bit of information, and we're going to worship just like a live service. We're going to be on our feet. We're going to be clapping our hands. We're going to be amen in the preacher, singing along, worshiping. And the same thing as altar call. Whenever the preacher calls for an altar call, we're all going to stand and we're all going to come down. But we want everyone to know that when we come down, that the priority of that night, if you need a healing, come down and get a healing. If you need to receive the Holy Ghost, come down and get the Holy Ghost. But visitors and guests are a priority. So we want to make sure whenever you do come down to not block the aisles or get in front of anyone. Just be aware when you come down to come as far forward as possible so that the visitors can get down where they need to so our worship or our altar team can work with them. Amen. Everyone said amen. Amen. Let's all stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. We've been having prayer walks around the Capitol. We've been praying down the Save Our Nation prayer guides. We just want to pray for this Sunday to be an amazing time in the Lord. God can do things that we cannot do. Amen. We can make a lot of plans, and we can put a lot of things together. But I found that oftentimes the things that God can do in just a moment, in just a minute, if we'll just give Him that time, He can do so much more than we ever imagined or even thought about. And so this Sunday, we're going to dedicate the entire service and the entire Sunday just for God to move. We want Him to move. And so we want to pray that God would have people here that He can work with. Amen. So let's pray that all those folks that have been invited, all the guests and all those that want to attend our services or might even be watching online this weekend, would feel the Lord in a way they'd never felt before. Would you just pray with me? Would you just lift your hands and pray that miracles, signs, and wonders, healings would happen this weekend, that folks would receive the power of salvation through the infilling of the Holy Ghost and baptism in Jesus' name. We ask that repentance would be wholesale across our congregation and across this city. God, we ask you, Lord Jesus, that you would touch every heart, God. Lead them and guide them to you, Lord. We ask for your presence to go before us, Lord God, and to come in after us, Lord God. Let us not go anywhere where you're not, but we ask you, Lord Jesus, as we dedicate this day to you, Lord, that your presence would be here in a mighty way, God. We ask you, Lord Jesus, for the power of God to just fall in a way that has never fallen any time before or since. But Lord God, we expect, Lord, a revival this weekend. We ask for a revival spirit to fall upon our church, Lord God. We ask for you to open doors in ways that have never been opened, God. To put the keys in locks that have never been turned, Lord God. We ask you to upset, Lord Jesus, the spiritual nature of our entire county, God, that somehow we would raise the spiritual temperature in such a way that folks would understand that you are present to heal, present to fill, God, present to know them, Lord. We ask you in all these things in Jesus' name. Everyone said in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. This next song, it's going to describe what people are going to be experiencing on Sunday night. And we're not going to have to wait. If you need healing, it can happen tonight. We don't have to wait for Sunday night, but people are going to be saying, healing is here, and I receive it. And they're going to lift their hands, maybe they never have before.
And healing is here. Healing is here. I receive it. my eyes where my help comes from. I look to you, my rock, my healer. I trust in you.
Thank you.
We want to see that miracle in our lives and other people's lives. We have to lay ourselves down on that altar.
And if the altar's where you meet us, take me there. Take me there. If what you need is just an offering, it's right here. My life is here, and I'll be a living sacrifice for you. You're a fire, a refiner. I want to be consumed. I want to be tried by fire. Purified, you take whatever you desire. Lord, here is my life. I wanna be tried by fire. Purified, you take whatever you desire. Lord, here's my life. Yeah.
If your glory wants to come,
you're a fire,
you're a fire,
you're a fire.
take whatever you desire. Lord, here's my life.
Come on, you all sing.
I wanna be a try.
Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is our reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Praise God. Hallelujah. Living sacrifice. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. What a beautiful presence of the Lord. I'm going to read a passage of Scripture, and then I'm going to allow you to sit down. I have one brief announcement to make. But I want you to read this with me. It's a passage we're all familiar with. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. I didn't hear everybody reading that with me. Verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Praise God. Everyone said amen. You may be seated. One very important announcement. We are ramping up our Sunday school ministry again. One detail. We need teachers. I didn't hear anyone say, ooh. Amen. Seriously, consider what you can do for the kingdom of God. Let God talk to your heart. Be open to the ministry of Sunday school. We're very short on teachers, kind of like the workplace these days. You know, we can't find laborers, people to go back into the workplace. We need people to go back into the Sunday school room. We're opening up each level progressively. And the first week of June, we're going to go to the next level, if you will, and we need Sunday school teachers. If you are in any way interested, if you have any questions, talk to Brother Brandon Matt, Sister Matt, or talk to Brother Peter Sandin or Sister Sandin. They will help you out. Go get a ministry application and fill it out and turn it in to Brother Demas. If you have any questions or any interest whatsoever, please pursue it. We need desperately to fill the Sunday school classrooms, the teachers that can minister to these children, especially in this day, in this age. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Tonight I'm coming to you, and I'm not really, I have a Bible study, basically is what I have here on paper, but I don't feel like a Bible study tonight. I feel like there's a push, a drive that needs to be expressed in this message, that somehow it's even for myself, I need to wrap myself around this somehow and let it change me. We read about the Great Commission. We Pentecostals, we know the Great Commission better than anybody. We know about the principles of the Great Commission, and we know how it ties into the book of Acts. We know how it connects with what the apostles did. But somehow we're not really grasping what God wants to do, I think. And I say we. This passage that we read is part of what we refer to as the Great Commission. And we know the several passages, and we'll read them all tonight, that relate to that, and they're not all taking place at the same place in the same time. But this particular passage is taking place after the resurrection. And the scripture says that they were in Galilee, not at the Mount of Olives at this time. I'm not sure, but I think this is closer to the beginning of the 40 days of training, because Jesus was taken up on the Mount of Olives, and this took place in Galilee. And I think Jesus is telling them, this is what you will be doing. The scripture says that he walked with them for 40 days and 40 nights and taught them things concerning the kingdom of God. He gave them intensive training. And this is, I think, the introduction to the course, or at least part of the training that they received somewhere along the way. This is what I'm training you for. This is what he has been training us for from the day that we were baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Matthew 28:18 says, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. That's the New King James Version. The King James Version says all power. But the word really, in most modern translations, and when you look at the definition, the word there is authority. Now I need some audience participation. Amen. I can't, it's COVID incorrect for me to put the mic in your face, so I'll have to repeat what you say. But what comes to mind when I say authority? The police. Okay, I assume that would be one. Anyone else? Teachers, somebody said. From the front row, parents. All right, so those are all positions. Right? When we say authority, you don't necessarily think of someone who's going to force you to do something. It feels like you're being forced by your parents sometimes, but they're not, hopefully, at least by the time you're 5 or 6 years old, they're not grabbing you and physically motivating you to do things. But when we talk about authority in this sense, it's not necessarily the physical application. We're not forcing someone to do something, but we're responding to authority because of the person or because of the position. It's a little different meaning than what we think of when we think of power. Think of it this way. And it's kind of the same question. Who has an authoritative voice in your life? Very frequently, most of the time in the scripture, in the New Testament, when it uses this term, it's talking about the expression, a verbal expression, or the expression of a position. So it's not talking about something physical that's happening, that's changing, that's taking place, but it's the expression of that authority. Think of someone who's an authority on something you're interested in. Somebody give me an example. Somebody who's an authority in something in your life. All right, the pastor. I'm talking about more of like an authority, an expert. Brother Caskey is an authority by virtue of the fact he knows not just that he's an elder, but because of his depth of knowledge. Amen. Dave Shroud is an authority on buying and selling. And talking very fast as well. But amen. That's an authority. It's not a physical manifestation. This word in the King James Version is translated 61 times as power and only 28 times as authority. But in fact, most of the modern translations translate it as authority most of the time. Amen. This kind of authority is the authority that is asserted by police officers most often. I always tell people, I never got a speeding ticket I didn't deserve. And he didn't have to run me off the road in order to write the ticket. I saw the flashing red lights and I thought, then I looked at my speedometer and I thought, oh. And because it represented authority, I pulled over. And I did this little thing that I was taught to do when I was a child. I said, yes, sir. No, sir. I'm sorry, sir. Because he had authority. I didn't get up in his face. He didn't have to grab me by the shirt. And I just, yes, sir, no, sir. Hopefully I never have to do that again. But because there's authority. It's the same kind of authority that in the stories we read or the shows that we see, they say, stop in the name of the law. Notice that, in the name of the law. So authority goes with the name. Deuteronomy 18:5-7 says, for the Lord thy God hath chosen him out of all thy tribes to stand and minister in the name of the Lord, him and his sons forever. They have that place of authority, and they're standing in the authority of God in the name of the Lord. And if a Levite come from any of thy gates out of all Israel where he sojourned and come with all the desire of his mind unto the place which the Lord God shall choose, then he shall minister in the name of the Lord his God as all his brethren the Levites do which stand there before the Lord. He has that position appointed by God and he stands in the authority of God in the name of the Lord. It's authority that's associated with a person or a position. Matthew 7:28-29 says, and so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching. Why? Because he taught them as one having authority. Again, there's the verbal expression of authority and not as the scribes. History tells us that the way the scribes taught was they would refer to certain teachers that were revered or that were or certain passages of commentaries on the law. This teacher said this, or this commentary says this, and as a matter of fact, they took portions or certain teachers or certain writings, and they gave them the same weight and the same authority as the Word of God. That's why when they judged Jesus for breaking the law, he never violated Old Testament scripture. Not one time did he violate the word of God. But in fact, what he was violating was the law that they were giving authority to that was not the word of God. So these scribes, including Pharisees and Sadducees, they would quote these teachers and give them authority, but Jesus, he came on the scene and he wasn't quoting anybody. He was just manifesting the authority of the word of God. And when he spoke, they felt that authority. Praise God. He spoke the mind of God. He spoke the very thoughts of God. He had the ultimate authoritative voice. Amen. Matthew 8:9 says, "For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this man," verbal expression, "I say to this man, go and he goeth, and to another, come and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." This is Jairus talking about, I think it's either Jairus or the centurion, I can't remember which, but he's accepting the authority of Jesus Christ for who he is. And he's saying, "I know how this works. I don't have to grab my servant by the shirt and force him to do what I speak because I carry authority." The ability to speak and have it mean something. To speak and require obedience, conveying the assurance of accuracy and correctness. Something different about the teaching of Jesus. Those people, they knew what he was saying was right. It was true. You know how it is when the preacher's preaching and the word of God strikes your heart with power. It's the authority of God's word. Jesus said, "All authority is given unto me." All authority. But then he said, "Go ye therefore." We miss that part. We agree with it in our mind. We know it's there. But we don't walk in that authority. I say, I wish I could say this is how you do it, but we just don't walk in that authority like we ought to. He said, "Go ye therefore." He spoke the authoritative, he transferred that authority to his disciples. That authority is present in this church. That authority is present in every child of God. Not because of who we are, but because of who he is. "Walk and talk in my authority," he was saying. In his earthly ministry, on two occasions, he sent out ministers, one time 70, one time 12, and they were so confident in that authority that this was before the Holy Ghost was poured out. They still operated in the authority in the name of Jesus, and they went from place to place, and they cast out devils, and they prayed for the sick, and they recovered, and there were people healed. How much more authority ought we to operate with? Why am I just feel compelled to go over this, because we've got Pentecost Sunday. Save our nation. This is an opportunity for us to experience a new Pentecost and a new age, a new era, the beginning of something that will take us right up to the rapture. Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, we sat at the old guys' breakfast on Saturday. They call it the out of control breakfast club, but there's not too much to control the us old guys sitting around in there, but it doesn't take much. I just call it the old guys breakfast club, and there was a gentleman there, and he was not necessarily a believer. He believes in God, he believes in Jesus, but he doesn't really believe at all. And he said something that I say from time to time. He said, like the rapture, who can believe the rapture? That is the weirdest belief that we have, if you ask me. But it's in the book. It's there. I'll tell you what, though. Let him come to church one time and see someone prayed for and get up out of the wheelchair and run around the building. Let us pray for a loved one of his who's dying and have them recover. It'll be a whole lot easier to believe in a rapture then. God wants to do something. Like I said, I can't tell you that I know how to do it because I want to see it happen in my life. But God wants to do something in this church. God wants to do something in our lives. God wants us to walk in his authority in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So Jesus is getting ready to go back into heaven, to go into heaven, and he's ministering and teaching and training his disciples for 40 days. At one point in John 17, he prayed this prayer, "Thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world." That's that transfer of authority. "And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth." Maybe we need to do a little more sanctification in our lives. But then he said, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." We have the authority to preach and teach people, authority that no one else on this planet has. Oh, but there's so many churches, Pastor. Yeah, but we have the authority. When the disciples of Jesus Christ go out into the world, they operate with the authority that he has given them. And I'm talking about the real disciples. Those that believe what he taught, that believe he was God manifest in the flesh, that believe that he was going to do what he said he was going to do and fill people with his spirit, that he was with them, but he would be in them, that he would wash away their sins in his name. We have that truth. May 23rd is Pentecost Sunday, where we remember the day that his spirit was poured out, and the Bible, the principle, the prophecy was that his spirit would be poured out upon all flesh. Amen. We have authority. We have authority in the name of Jesus Christ. That's why we baptize in Jesus' name. Now, when you look at Acts 2:38, it says baptize them in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. That phrase really, and in Colossians and in Galatians and in several other places, when it talks about being baptized in Jesus' name, most of the time it's saying being baptized into Jesus, into Christ. So when we are baptized in Jesus' name, we are becoming part of his body, and automatically, by the name of Jesus Christ being applied to us, we acquire that authority to operate in his name. The name that is above every other name. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. We have the authority. Oh, praise God. But there's more to the Great Commission. Mark 3 says he ordained 12. We talked about that and how they were given that they should be with him and that they might send them forth to preach and to have power to heal sickness and to cast out devils. Power. Well, there's power in addition to authority in the Great Commission. Mark 16. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. There's that spoken authority to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And if they lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached with authority everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. We have the preaching part down. We know how to preach. We know how to baptize in Jesus' name, but we need to get to that place when we're laying. This Sunday, I pray for signs and wonders and miracles. Oh, God, anoint us. Help us. You know, we pray for revival, and we say, let revival come. Wait a minute. Like he's the one holding back revival? He's not holding back. We're the ones that are holding back the revival. Acts 1 and 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, what wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Authority. It's God's authority. He's in charge of the time clock. And it's a play on words. God has it under his authority. But you will receive power. That's not authority anymore. That's dunamis power. That's force. That's energy exerted. That's changing the natural. That's affecting the physical. You will receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Oh God, oh God, oh God, pour out your power on May 23rd. Pour out your power. Let it flow through us in Jesus' name. Hey, we've already got the authority in the name of Jesus Christ, and Jesus said that we would receive power when we receive the Holy Ghost. How many have been baptized in Jesus' name? A lot of authority in this place. How many of us have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Ooh, that's a lot of power. So that means if you raised your hand both times, you can pray for someone on Sunday and you have the authority to speak in the name of Jesus Christ and you have the power to see something happen. It's so hard for us to live it, to let it happen, to believe it. It's not us. It's not you. It's not me. It's not because of who I am. It's not because of who you are. It's not because of your position. It's not because of your authority. It's not because of my authority. It's not because of my personal power. It's his authority and it's his power. Hallelujah. somebody's going to lay hands on somebody on Sunday, and somebody's going to get healed. Somebody's going to lay hands on someone, and somebody's going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Here's what happens sometimes. Acts 17:16, Paul is in Athens. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. That's a good thing. So Paul departed from among them, albeit certain. But then it closes. It goes through this whole sequence where Paul preaches to them because his spirit is stirred. He can't stand it. There's idolatry everywhere. And he preaches and he argues and he gets into this debate. But nobody gets healed. Nobody gets the Holy Ghost. They weren't ready for it. Or he wasn't ready for it. Or somebody was. The Bible only says that his spirit was stirred in him. And sometimes, too often, we think that because our spirit is stirred, that's enough. Oh, I can get stirred up. I was stirred up waiting for a chance to preach because I felt it so strongly. That's not enough. The Word of God has to come with authority, and the power of God has to be released. How do we do that? We get into the Spirit. This Save Our Nation. If ever we should be able to get into the flow of God's Spirit, this is the time to do it. You think God's going to allow his church to make such a big deal out of something and he's going to leave them hanging? He's just going to turn his back on what's going on? It's more than just our spirits being stirred up. God's church is trying to rise up. The power of God wants to be manifest. Paul, verse 33, the Bible says that he departed from among them. Howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, because he spoke the word with authority, but the power was not able to flow because there was little faith. That's why we've been having prayer walks. That's why we've been fasting. That's why we've been praying, so that people come ready to receive it, whether they realize it or not. People come with faith. People come hungry for God. Oh, praise God. Paul's spirit was stirred up. He did everything he could, but there was not. The Bible says that even Jesus, when he went to some places, that no mighty works were done there because there was no faith. Oh, God, I pray for faith in this place on Sunday. I pray for faith in the state of Wisconsin. I pray for faith in Milwaukee's Panther Arena. I pray for faith, oh, God, in the hearts and the minds of your people. Let me have faith, oh, God, to see something happen, to see something change. Let your power come. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody here is going to have faith. Somebody here is going to have authority. Somebody here is going to let the power of God flow. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us about the sons of Sceva. They thought they had a system. It's working for Paul. It ought to work for us. So they came up with a system whereby they were going to cast out some devils. But they found out that man's systems aren't good enough. The Bible says that the demon possessed got a hold of him and beat the snot out of him, to use a colloquialism. I can say snot, can I? Okay. Our systems aren't enough. The world's religion is not enough. It's not something, we can't manufacture this. There's no formula. The only formula for this is God's presence, God's authority, God's power. The name of Jesus and the power of the Holy Ghost. That's the formula. Praise God. Hallelujah.
I don't want to be like the sons of Sceva and try to do it on my own. I've been there, done that. I never got beat up by a demon-possessed guy, but I've had some pretty scary moments here and there on campus. Tell you what, I've smelled some bad breath in my days, but I remember one time preaching on campus, and God bless Brother O'Neill if you're listening. He would bring us down there. We would preach down on the mall down on campus, Memorial Union Mall. And that guy, his face was this close to me when I was trying to preach. And he hadn't brushed his teeth for a very, very long time. And it was not a Holy Spirit that was motivating him. I couldn't help that guy. But I believe that greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in you. Greater is he that's in this place tonight. Greater is he that's in your home. Greater is he that's in your prayer time. Greater is he than he that is in the world. Praise God. We're so timid sometimes about, well, we're just Pentecostals and nobody understands it. Nobody has. We have authority. We have power. Luke 5:17, it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee. They came from all over because they heard about this Jesus. He's in Galilee. He's becoming known, but his name has spread so far. Now the religious experts, the authorities, are going to come and determine whether or not he's the real deal. They're going to judge his ministry. They're going to decide whether or not he should be allowed to do what he's doing. He was not the least bit intimidated. They came out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord, the dunamis, the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Now, the original language doesn't have that word present. It just says that the power of the Lord was healing. What am I trying to say? I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure that there are times when God has determined that this is a day for healing. And there are times when God has determined this is the day for an outpouring of my spirit. And all we need to do is have the authority and the power of God working through us, and we will see it happen. His presence, his power was there to heal. If you're going to get healing, that's the day to show up at church. When God says, today I'm healing. Come one, come all. You think God can do that here? You think God can do that on Pentecost Sunday? You think God can decide right now? You think he might already have in mind what he wants to do here on Sunday evening? Oh, praise God. There's still time to fast and pray. Boy, I feel something. Why don't you lift your hand and praise the Lord? Why don't you worship just for a moment? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Let's stand. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Oh, hallelujah. I'm not standing here telling you that I'm the authority on this, because I'm not. But I am saying that I believe that God wants to do something, wants us to trust Him, wants us to believe for the things that we've been talking about, that He wants us to trust Him, to use the authority He's given us, to allow the power of God to flow through us. One last passage of Scripture. Then open he their understanding. Luke 24, I believe, is the key that ties all of the Great Commission together. The book of Acts, the book of John, the book of Matthew, the book of Mark ties together here in Luke 24. He opened their understanding. God opened our understanding. Tonight, open our understanding that we can understand the Scriptures. And He said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer. This is why Jesus died. To rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached among in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. That's why He died. That's why He bled. That's why He suffered. That's why He rose again. And you are witnesses of these things. And here it is. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in Jerusalem till be endued with power from on high. Notice, He said, preach, and He said, power, authority, and the Holy Ghost. The name of Jesus. The key is, on the day of Pentecost, they were in one mind and one accord. And then suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Praise God. Hallelujah. Please, if there's something in the way in your relationship with God or with the people of God, get it out of the way. Lay it on the altar. Surrender it. God is not looking for a perfect vessel. He's looking for a submitted vessel. He's looking for a surrendered vessel. Let's be submitted. Let's be surrendered. Let's believe in the authority He has given us. Let's let Him manifest the power that He wants to. Let Him prepare your heart for Sunday. Let Him use you, even if it's just to lead one person to the altar, even if it's just to witness to one person before Sunday. Somehow use the authority that Jesus Christ has given us. Use the power. Pray and fast, even if it's just a meal. Let God prepare our hearts, and let's come together in one mind and one accord in Jesus' name.
God is fighting for